and Hebrews 11. Genesis 5 and Hebrews 11. It's kind of funny how the Bible is laid out, where you have something here way in the front of the Bible that connects with something way in the back of the Bible. And it's like the Bible is kind of like a circle, but yet probably more like a spiral, where it keeps coming around. And that's where you get an idea, is that we learn from history that men don't learn from history. And if they don't learn from history, they're destined to repeat it. And so here something's in the front of the Bible, and it's going to be brought up in the back of the Bible, and that's most of the message this morning. So when you're reading the front of the Bible, you're going backwards to the future. I think there's something called that, right? Back to the future. So Genesis 5, and let's go and pray before we read this. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. Help us to see how subtle the serpent is, but yet how powerful Jesus Christ is. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's a guy way in the back of the Bible, or in front of the Bible, Genesis 5. Some folks feel that he wrote a book and should be in the Bible, but God put one sentence of it in the Bible, and so that's the limit. It'd be okay reading, historical reading, but it's not scripture per se. Genesis 5, this verse 21, this guy named Enoch. Okay, that's what your engine sounds like if you don't have enough oil in it. Enoch's. So Enoch, okay, and lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So there's his first son, first child, Methuselah. Okay, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. The implications are is when he had his first child, he really got serious about God. And of course, that is a very tender time in a person's life, in parents' lives. Then it says, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, and then notice, for God took him. Where'd he take him? He took him. Okay, now, that same gentleman is mentioned in Hebrews, back of the Bible. Not only in Hebrews, he's also mentioned in Jude. That's where the one sentence God put in the Bible about Enoch. Okay, in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Okay, why did he not see death? God took him. He went up with the upper taker, not the undertaker. And was not found. Huh? Was not found. So evidently, family and friends were looking for him. Thought he got kidnapped by the mafia or something. Was not found because God had translated him. In the Old Testament, God took him. In the New Testament, God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch, there's another fella that cheated the undertaker, was Elijah. And after Elijah was taken up, the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, hey, what if we go look for him? And he said, go ahead, you ain't going to find him. And so both of those guys, after God took them, people looked for them. So the ideas of the pre-tribulation rapture, are people going to be looking for what happened to those people? What happened to dad or mom or brother or sister? Where'd they go? Okay, and I believe that children before the age of accountability, if one of their parents is saved, that they would go in the rapture, because 1 Corinthians 7:15 says the children are holy by one parent being saved, and I believe that children of unsaved parents stay, and then they'll go into the trib. Okay, but still the idea is, how are the powers that be gonna deceive the world with all these missing people? Okay, with Enoch, you only got one family or a small group of people to worry about, or Elijah, a few. What about when you got millions of people missing? Okay, how are they going to explain that away? Okay, so I'm going to work on that. And at the same time, we're going to see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. You see the power of the Lord through the power of the devil, how he deceives, but the Lord is much more powerful. Okay, Luke chapter 17. We'll see, we'll start with the Lord's words. Okay, now, many people know about an event called the tribulation. Okay, it's pretty well known with Christians and the world. Okay, where 666 is going to be used to control people economically. And there's a lot of confusion in the church because people aren't believing what the Bible says. That's why there's confusion. Is there going to be a pre-tribulation? Is it going to be a mid-trib? Is it going to be a post-tribber? Okay, a lot of confusion with that. And all you have to do is ask these people, where does the idea of the tribulation come from? Well, they'll say, the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible.
Okay, yeah,
Bible, B-I-B-U-L, Bible.
Okay, and so you ask them where it's found in the Bible, and they're going to have to go back to Daniel 9, 24, Daniel's 70 weeks. And Gabriel divides it up in three parts, 7, 62, and 1. So they got 1 week kind of hanging. And back there, you discover that the 70 weeks are determined upon Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jews, not the church. So there's the hard, fast foundation. This remaining tribulation time period is God dealing with Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jews, not the church. Hence, there must be a pre-tribulation rapture. No guesses to that. Has to be. That's 2 + 2 = 4. That is so clear, so obvious. Don't allow the complex verses to change or sway one's opinion on that. And so in Luke chapter 17, the Lord takes something out of the Old Testament to portray something right before his second coming. In this context, he will refer to himself as the Son of Man. And when that's used like that, that is always referring to the second coming to earth, not the rapture. So Luke 17, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noe, in the New Testament spelled N-O-E, in the Old Testament N-O-A-H, same guy. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. History is repeating itself. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day. Who's the they? Well, maybe we'll get into that. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, so that's Genesis 18 and 19, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. So it's a worldwide prosperity. And it says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone, that's sulfur. I have a few of those in my desk at home that I picked up out of Gomorrah. Okay, rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Revealed to the whole world. Okay, so Jesus Christ takes us back to Genesis 6, 7, 8, 18, and 19, back in history. So let's go back to the future in Genesis chapter 6. So in Genesis chapter 6, we go back to what happened before the flood. And this is why God drowned them. You see, those people didn't have the sense to come in out of the rain. Genesis chapter 6. So this reveals some very strange things in the Bible, and these things are starting to be made manifest throughout the world, and the Lord is building everything up to a crescendo, and the crescendo is the book of Revelation. You know, men like this, the all the special effects, you know, or at the end of the fireworks, you get all that stuff going. That's revelation. And we're seeing it being made manifest if people are alert to it. And we're starting to see things being made manifest about this idea. Now, here's the problem, is that when people read the Bible, most people, Christians included, they have accepted the lie that the Bible is strictly a religious book. And when they've accepted that lie, they may or may not read these passages. And it just kind of blows over their head. It's like they have like the horse, you put blinders on it so he can't see. And so these people have blinders where they don't see that the Bible deals with government. It deals with health issues, deals with family, economic. It deals with, you know, the mythology, the Greek mythology. It deals with things that we're starting to see manifest today. But people don't see that that's the Bible. The Bible foretold these things, but people don't see this in the Bible. So in Genesis chapter 6, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the future because it's going to be made manifest. Genesis 6 verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Well, who is that? The sons of God. Well, that's Christians. No, it's not. You go to Job 1 and it defines it. And Job 38, it defines it under the Old Testament. The sons of God are what God called angels in the Old Testament. Okay, that's what he called angels. Well, what is angels marrying women? Yeah, that's what's going on here. How do they do that? Somehow they got to get flesh and blood. Greek mythology talks about this stuff. Hollywood is getting people conditioned to it. Okay, and so somehow they got to take on flesh and blood. These sons of God, they're fallen angels. Now, in Hebrews 1 verse 7, it mentions that God created the angels to be spirits. That's how they were created originally. Now, when an angel who is a spirit that manifests itself to the natural world, he steps through this thin veil and he appears as a man. That's how they always appear. At the sepulcher, two young men were standing there and they told Mary and Martha, okay, those were angels, those were good angels, but fallen angels that take on flesh and blood, they now forfeit the eternity of being in the spirit world and they will die and drown like a rat. That's what they'll do. They're intermingling the seed between aliens and women and animals, and that's why God flooded the world. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 3, the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Huh? Also flesh? Of course man's flesh. Yeah, but there's something there that's weird flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now, the King James is so hard to understand. Nobody understands giants. The New Bibles help us out, and they put Nephilims in there, and that's real good. You know, San Francisco Nephilims are going to play the Cubs later this year. And so, that's real tough. Giants. Now, giants worked in those days because before the flood, animals were bigger, oxygen content was stronger, people grew larger. I mean, archaeologists will show there's many skeletons of people 10, 12, 20 feet tall. So giants were very effective in those days. Okay, and then he says this, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, so there were fallen angels like going AWOL after the flood. That's where Goliath came from. Okay, but the ones who did this before the flood, in Psalm 82, it says they die like men. If something dies like a man, it's not a man, it's a weird man. They die like a man. And then he says this, and when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of man, and they bare children of them, the same, what happened, became the same became mighty men. Okay, and then it says, which were of old men of renown. Okay, what's renown mean? You get it in the Bible. Number 16, verse 2 says they were men of renown, famous in the congregation. So prior to the flood, the celebrities of the day and the political leaders of the day were the product of these relationship between the sons of God and women. And this is being made manifest. In our day, if people are alert to it. And that's part of the deception. So, some of these famous people that people see may not be what you think they are. It just might not be. Now, Hollywood or Disney, the Disney company is being conditioning children to accept this because Disney is 33rd degree Mason. And so all this stuff going on. Okay, they have the Beauty and the Beast. Where'd that come from? The Beauty and the Beast. Well, Daniel says in Daniel 7, verse 17, that the beast are kings and kingdoms. Then you go to Revelation 13, the Antichrist is depicted to be a beast. Then you have 10 kings who submit to the beast, and these are demoniac kings who are not flesh and blood. As many of the Pharisees probably were not, because Jesus called them, ye are of your father the devil. So this is being made manifest. Now Disney, where the Beauty and the Beast, the Beauty fell in love with the Beast. But he turned into a man because of the power. Or you have the Frog Prince. Isn't that a nice one? The Frog Prince. If you kiss a frog, he'll turn into a prince of the power of the air. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, the spirits of the Antichrist is the spirits of a frog. That's why you get a frog in your throat sometimes. Okay, and so all this stuff is conditioning people. It's conditioning people for the crescendo. But the devil can't come out with his horns. He's got to come out like Jesus Christ. He's going to have a worldwide prosperity, and then this advanced intelligence is going to deceive them about these missing people. How are they going to do this? It's an amazing thing. If you would go to the back of the Bible into Jude, the epistle of Jude, right before Revelation, and we'll see the same two historical events that Jesus referred to describe the events prior to his coming. Jude verse 6. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate. Okay, so why? They were spirits first. They take on flesh and blood. That's why they're interested in that. Okay, and then it says, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. So if they did this before the flood, they drowned like a rat, and according to Peter, they are now in prison below the earth. Okay, so they're waiting to be judged. And guess who gets to judge them? The church does. 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to look at them and say, you are an idiot. You had the spirit world and you chose this best for that? What an idiot. Okay, and then verse 7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus brought that one in. Remember, he brought that in Luke 17. And the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. They are infatuated with that. Why? They're trying to intermingle the seed. They're trying to mess up the seed. Before Calvary, they were trying to mess up the seed of Jesus Christ. Okay, and then he says, and going after strange flesh, weird flesh, unusual flesh, not normal. And then he says, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Okay, now what man is doing, if we would try Acts 14, what man is being conditioned to do, and this has been going on for a long time, this takes us back to Greek mythology. Okay, and Greek mythology, where they're trying to intermingle the seed between angels, man, and animals, this is where a mermaid idea comes from, or a horse and a goat. It's a cross there. They're trying to mess up the seed. In Acts chapter 14, Barnabas and Saul came into this community and they performed a great miracle. And the people's reaction to that was, Acts 14, verse 11. They said, when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in a speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." That's what man's waiting for. And then it says they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. They're going to be deceived thinking they came from another planet. All these planets, all seven of them, are named after pagan deities. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter. These are pagan deities. Saturn, Saturnia. Venus, the goddess Venus. Mars, they're not on Mars. They're up in Greenland. I mean, it's a joke. They're trying to say these advanced intelligent beings are coming and going to solve our problems. They're waiting. That's what the world's waiting for. When is it going to set up? Oh, man, it's getting ready. It's getting ready. Now, they do have advanced intelligence because they're in the spirit world. And when you come into the natural world, you do have an advanced intelligence there. But is this going to be used for man's good or man's evil? A few years back, the Vatican bought the, or produced or created or whatever, the most powerful telescope in the world. And they're looking up in the stars, trying to get answers. You know, the pontiff, pon means is a go-between, the spirit world and the natural world. That's what pontiff refers to, where the Egyptian pons were the religious priests who would make the, you know, and so the Vatican's already working on this. At one time they called it Lucifer, but they kind of gave it away, so now it's something called different. But it's in Arizona. Not only that, you probably don't know this, but if one of these creatures come to your house, we have a spokeswoman, a spokesperson, a spokesthing, I don't know, in the United Nations. In September 2010, the United Nations, if somebody shows up and said, "Take me to your leader," well, we're supposed to take them to the United Nations, and this lady by the name of Maslin Othman, she's a Malaysian astrophysicist, so she's interested in the stars. She is going to be the contact between the aliens and the world. I'm not making this up. You can look at it online. I mean, that's the thing. And the New Age gurus, they have been conditioning the New Agey people. It's not New Age, it's Old Age. It's back in Babylon. But they've been conditioning people. And here I've got, I actually shortened it to 2 pages, all these quotes about these New Agers, where the one will read it like this: our rescue ships will be able to come in close enough in the twinkling of an eye. I wonder where they got that at. To set the lifting beams in operation in a moment. I wonder where they got that from. And all that all over the globe where events warrant it, this will be the method of evacuation. Mankind will be lifted, levitated, shall we say, by the beams from our smaller ships. These smaller craft will in turn taxi the persons to the larger ships overhead, higher in the atmosphere. That's for certain. I am going above the atmosphere. Where there is ample space and quarters and supplies for millions of people. And another person writes it this way: another explanation will be the disappearance of all believers of Jesus Christ in one evolutionary purge. The basic concept is that as Earth and humanity is evolving into higher spiritual consciousness, those thought patterns are of the past, meaning the Bible, and which hinder the evolutionary path will appear to vanish. You see, we're the bad blood holding back the fourth dimension. And so they got to get rid of the bad blood so they can step into the fourth dimension. And that's going to be their explanation. After they hear this huge sonic boom from the Trump and people are disappeared and families looking around for them, then on the news, down in the Vatican, and it said, "We are here to help you, to explain to you that was the bad blood. And now we can advance not only into our quantum finance thing, we can advance into the quantum world. And then you're going to have worldwide prosperity. Who will want God? Nobody will want God. This is exactly what it was like before the flood. Now, here's the kicker on this. It's because these people do not read the Bible, but when they do read the Bible, all they see is religion. They don't see the deception. Of the 1,189 chapters in the Bible, let's look at one of those in Zechariah 5 and see what the Bible forecasts about the events during the tribulation time period. How many preachers preach on Zechariah? Did you know it's a book in the Bible? Right next to the book of Jerusalem. Zechariah, if you look at the end of chapter 4, you'll see that Zechariah foretells about the coming of Moses and Elijah. They're called the anointed ones, okay? Who came to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and then they're going to show up in the tribulation time period. What shows up at the same time? Zechariah 5. He said, "Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll." This is not a donut that's being followed by a bunch of police officers. This is a roll. A circular object. A flying roll. Is it identified? Well, if you go to the scholars, because they limit the Bible to religion, the scholars will tell you this is a scroll. This is a copy of the Bible. Yeah, but look at the next verse. "And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits and a breadth thereof 10 cubits. Wow, what a big Bible. 10 cubits, a cubit is 18 inches from here to here. That's 15 feet in diameter, 20 feet long. That must have been Goliath's pocket testament or something. I mean, what an amazing thing. What is this thing? It's flying. It's an object. It's a roll. But has anybody identified it yet? Something weird. The next verse says, "Then said the enemy, This is the curse." Now, those guys who are really adamant trying to make this the scroll will take you back to Deuteronomy, and it says, see, this is the curse of the Bible put upon the world. Yeah, but in verse 8, it's called wickedness too. Don't tell me the Bible's wicked. So he said, "This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth." This is going to be during that great tribulation. I mean, it's coming everywhere. The tribulation is going to be a wild scene. If Hollywood wanted to promote the Bible and use their special effects, they could try to portray it. But there's no way we can even come close to portraying it. It's going to be, Jesus said it's going to be the worst time known to man. But yet, at the same time, it's going to be a financial utopia. How do you do that? The same time where the Antichrist comes in peaceably. So who's this going to affect? This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice it hasn't happened yet. It's going to come forth. It shall enter the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. You see, he pulls in God in this. And then he says, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and it shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what this is this that goeth forth. And I said, Zechariah, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah. And I'm sure Zechariah said, wow, that was a big help. What's an ephah? Well, it's a flying roll. What's a flying roll? Well, it's an ephah. Well, that's not helping me. An ephah before this time was like a bushel basket. So this is something that's going to be like weighing than the balance. So this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. That cannot be a scroll when he makes that statement. Then if you take that word wickedness, take that into 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8, where the word wicked is an uppercase W personifying the Antichrist. This is associated to the Antichrist. And right now, UFOs are being declassified by the powers that be. They're being made manifest in many, many locations now. Christopher Columbus wrote in his ship log about a fireball that brought him into the Caribbean area. A fireball is an older way of describing an unidentified flying object. And they're starting to be made manifest throughout the world. It's unbelievable. But people who are deceived thinking that's an advanced intelligence. It is, but it's not for our good. It's for a curse. It's for wickedness. He says there, he says, verse 7, and behold, there is lifted up a talent of lead, and this is the woman that sitteth in the ephah. This is wickedness. He cast it in the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had the wings like the wings of a stork. Well, I thought the stork brought the babies. That's where that came from. They get it from the Bible and then twist it. And if people are not alert to the twist, they get deceived. And so he says, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? He said unto me, to build in a house in the land of Shinar. Where's Shinar? Genesis chapter 11, in the plain of Shinar, that's where Babel occurred. This is connected to Babylon. That doesn't sound like a good place to me. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Base? As in a military base. As in DUMS. Deep underground military bases. Where this has been known about from people about Area 51 and New Mexico and Roswell, where this is being hid for years, but now it's being made manifest. Why? To deceive. It's not for our good. It's for deception. That's the reason for it in Zechariah 5. Okay, the Lord gives us knowledge about this. Now, if you go to the back of the Bible, okay, so starting with Hebrews, we'll start with Hebrews. This is repeating. What is Hebrews going to tell us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2? You see, the Lord doesn't come right out and he sprinkles it through here so that we pick it up. Hebrews 13, 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. In Revelation, it talks about a flying angel. That'd be a good angel. It talks about the beasts, which are fallen angels. Here he mentions angels. During the tribulation time period, that spiritual world is going to be made manifest in the natural world, and it's going to have apparitions and stuff everywhere. It's going to blow people's minds what's happening. And the dark side is going to say, man, this is cool, man. If you smoke this, you really get into it. Okay? In James chapter 2. Now, the Lord tells you and I, this is a great power we have in Jesus Christ if people just recognize the power. In James 2 verse 19, Paul called these gods in Corinthians devils. Did he not? We know these pagan deities to be devils. Okay, they call them gods. The Bible calls them devils and gods. The god of this world is Lucifer. These gods do not mind it if you say God. James 2 verse 9, it says, or 19, James 2:19. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils believe, also believe, and tremble. You see, you can say God in the United Nations and it doesn't bother them. You can say God at the AA meeting and it doesn't bother anybody. You can say that to the Democrats. Some of them might bother them, but a lot of them doesn't bother them. You can say Jesus and it doesn't bother them. But if you add the Lord Jesus Christ, that bothers them. Okay? And that's how you get to know about the truth of these things. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. So James, Peter, John is giving forewarning to those people of their day, the last days. And we should take heed to this and recognize the power in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2, verse 11. Whereas angels, 2 Peter 2, verse 11. Why does he mention angels? Because they're going to be all through the trib. Which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things which they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. There's the beast that Daniel said were kings and kingdoms. And Revelation says the beast is the Antichrist. And the ten beast will be world kings, a confederation of kings. That's in 2 Peter. Now let's try 1 John. 1 John 2:18 is the very first time the word Antichrist is found in the Bible, and it's very understandable why that's true. It's in the back of the Bible. We're dealing with the last days. Last days of what? The last days of Daniel's 70 weeks. When you get the puzzle together, it's just fascinating. The Bible is fascinating. When you get the puzzle together, if you don't get the puzzle, it's all scrambled on the table. You got to start with the edges, right? And then work in. So in 1 John 2:18, little children. Why do they call them little children? Because everyone that gets righteous in the trib will be the first time for them. They're all little children. It is the last time. No brainer. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Two chapters later, chapter 4, he says in chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, uppercase G. You and I are told that we're to try these spirits. Several years ago in Portugal, I think it was Portugal, a supposed angel showed up to three Portuguese children. It's called Fatima. It's a Catholic place where they go. And all you have to do is read the testimony. And the angel preached a false gospel to the three Portuguese children. In Galatians 1, it says, though an angel preach another gospel, let it be accursed. So we're told to try the spirits. Don't get enamored with them. Don't be shocked by them. Okay, like one alien, one UFO thingy came to a Christian woman and she asked it, what do you think of Jesus Christ? It didn't like the response. She tried the spirits is what she did. And it took off. That's an amazing thing. You see, a lot of times people, these atheists are just fascinating to me. And sometimes people who believe in the Bible for a short bit and they don't get their way and then they say God's not real. Do you know the step that they're taking from that to the evolutionary idea is unbelievable faith? It's just unbelievable. But you know the evidence of the name Jesus Christ and how Jesus is totally unique? All we have to do, 1 John 4 verse 3 tells you how to try the spirits. And you see, I'm not planning to be here in a trib, so I'm not worried about it. But there are spirits that are manifesting themselves. And when I get around people and I watch their eyes and I can see a devil manifesting itself, I'll bring up the name Jesus Christ and watch the eyes go and watch what happens. 1 John 4, verse 3, verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And the next verse. You see, they don't mind if you say God. They don't mind if you say Jesus. They don't mind if you say Christ. They don't mind if you say Lord. That doesn't bother them. Because there's another Jesus. There's another Christ. But when you say the Lord Jesus Christ, that bothers them. Now, if Jesus Christ is a God just like any God, if he is a religious founder like Buddha, like Muhammad, just like any, then why do they react that way? Why do they react that way? Because he's unique. Totally unique. You see, and in a way, you and I could be like David and Goliath, where we take a stone from this book, you know, it's a rock of offense, and then we could slay that giant by the spoken word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you bring in his precious blood and cleanse everything. It's through the blood of Jesus. Both of those ideas were concepts given to the Hebrews in Hebrews 9:14, 1 John 1:7. And those concepts is what gives liberty to believers even today. And I don't get it sometimes, but you know, in the Old Testament, do you remember when the Pharaoh and they had all the frogs come in and over encompass the entire kingdom of Egypt? All these frogs, they were in their bedroom, they're in the room, they're in everything. And then they ask Moses, when do you want me to take these things away? I would have said, now! Now! Do it now! They said, tomorrow's good enough. Huh? I don't get that. A lot of people don't want to give that up. Amen. They don't want to give it up. Years ago, I was dealing with a fella. And with this guy, booze and MTV was like dynamite. Okay? And so we're on the telephone talking about something. He was mad about something. And I could hear the music in the background. And I could tell he was drunk. And I said, do I hear music in the background? He said, yeah. I said, turn it off. And so he turned it off and that kind of settled him down. And so at that time, he was intending to go out and do something pretty bad. And we got chatting. So I said, let me pray on the phone. And then I'll pray with you. I'll pray. And so I prayed with him. And then I said, pray this. I said, would you please cleanse me with the shed blood of Jesus Christ? He said, boy, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I said, me too. Good night. Hung up. The next morning, he came to church. That was Saturday night. Came to church the next morning. His eyes looked like road maps. I could almost see I-65 in there. And he said, wow, what the blood of Christ did to me last night. I said, you ain't a kidding, pal. There's power in that name. It's not the blood of Muhammad. It's not the blood of Lucifer. He's got to take somebody else's. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Man, if that's not evidence for Jesus Christ, I don't know what is. And the next day, he went back to the bottle. We get on the phone, and I said, how about the blood of Jesus Christ today? And he said, nothing to it. He wanted to keep them frogs. That's the way people are. You see, the thing is, the Bible lays it out. It lays it out for us. But when people are not adamant with the word, they're going to be deceived by this advanced consciousness. All they have to do, if you get a deal with somebody like that, all you got to do is tell them. Don't tell them they're lying. Don't try to refute anything they're doing. Just tell them, next time you see this consciousness, ask it what it thinks of Jesus Christ. Please do that. It's not going to hurt. Ask it what it thinks of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a woman who married Satan years ago. Had a little ceremony. She was born with a cleft palate. And some nurses who were kind of in witchcraft said to this very poor mother, we'll take care of your daughter. We'll fix her and everything. And those witches began to prepare this girl 15, 16, she was initiated into witchcraft. She got deep into it. And she actually had a wedding ceremony with Satan. Okay, her story is written. Chick Publication writes about her story. Okay, in one time, she was able, somebody could take a gun and stand 9 inches from her and shoot the gun, and the bullet would land at her feet. She had that kind of power. Well, at one time, her and her cohorts would left their body. When they leave their body, there's a cord that's connected between them, and the Bible talks about the silver cord that's broken. That's death. Find that in Ecclesiastes 12. That's like a spiritual umbilical cord between your body and your soul. And they was going to go curse a young preacher. And she had an encounter with an angel. And that was the first time she realized somebody's more powerful than me. The Lord Jesus Christ. It took a little while, but she came to the Lord Jesus Christ and realized the power that was available to her. And that's where the real power is at. But the Satan is powerful in that he can deceive. He's the greatest counterfeiter of Jesus Christ. And that's how he's going to hoodwink the world. Through peace and prosperity and this advance intelligence and consciousness. And the world's going to jump on the bandwagon. And before, when it's too late, he's going to put the hook in and reel them right in. That's why the Lord gave us a book. And there's one in English that the devil don't like. That's this one. Thank God for the power of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to be people who are students of the book. Help us to recognize that we can help others who are enslaved and can't seem to overcome. And we can show them that the blood and the name of Jesus Christ is the power. And they can be made free through the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to, be people that see what's going on, but also be able to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is short. You're building this crescendo. It's about toward the end of the fireworks program. And man, everything's going to go, and that's Revelation. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be people that occupy till you come. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like to use the altar, it's available to you. But this is why the Lord said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And all the devil does is he takes a Bible truth, twists it a little bit, just a little, not a lot, a little, in order to deceive. And that's why we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see the power in your name. I see, also help us to recognize that we have the power in Jesus Christ to help others to overcome the bondage. Thank you for that great power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.